Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, and I got Kyle with me today. And we also have a very special guest. So I just wanted to throw it out to Brett so he can introduce our guest today.
All right.
I love it. That's a great little twist.
For those of you that don't know this guest, I am his son. His name is Don Harada. He was the originator at Catalyst.
Yes.
He's the one that brought me over. And so he was making a joke that he's known now as Brett and Dylan's dad. But he served as an elder at Catalyst. He was a mini church and small group leader. He did men's Bible study. He was very involved. And so welcome, Dad, to the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Brett, that was a way better intro than I was going to do.
Maybe you should start doing those right now.
Off the dome.
I had to think about all this stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, strike team.
But I do like how it's Brett and Dylan's dad, not Dylan and Brett's dad. I like how you kept it real there.
You got to keep the order. Birth order, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I gave him the first headache, right? Dylan gave him the second, there you go.
I don't know which was the bigger headache. Is that where we're going to go with this?
Wait a minute. You never know.
Father's Day already passed, all right, guys? We got to talk about other stuff than father stuff.
All right, so Don, as we normally do with our first-time guests, we wanted to throw it out to you to give you a chance to share a little bit about something that God's been highlighting to you recently. So what's God been showing you?
Let's see. There's a lot that's been going on. I feel like this season, it's I'm not sure if I was going to bring this up or not, but I feel like it's needed. This season has been a season of loss for us and our family. So, with Nancy's dad passing away from COVID, and then my mom recently dying, she was 100 and a half. So,
wow.
It was expected. She lived a long, full life. And then even more recently, we had to put our dog down. Shaka was part of the family. It was rough. It was rough grieving in different ways for different people and for the dog also. This is a time to understand grief a little bit better for me. I really didn't have to go through a lot of it, but just in succession with the different avenues of grief, it's been an interesting time for me and the Lord. I feel like he's been highlighting the idea of finding joy in all circumstances and even in this circumstance. The idea of loss is inevitable, but having joy in it is something I feel like the Lord really wants us to engage in. He's been showing me and bringing back memories of like my mom and me talking and hanging out and, you know, some of the wisdom that she's imparted to me. Her legacy that she's left is a big thing also that has been highlighted to me from the Lord is this idea of legacy. The idea that even as I am right now, I'm building my legacy. You know, I have started a while ago without even knowing it, I feel like, and he's been showing me in different ways that, that I've been building this legacy and I will continue to maybe keep it a little bit more in mind that my legacy is establishing his legacy in my life. And that's what's going to endure. You know, we've been going through my mom's house and her possessions and different things, and it's been rough in some ways to kind of like be there and kind of go through these things and have to, you know, discard some things. Because you just can't keep everything. And so understanding that the other things that she's passed on to me are more important than the physical things. So that's been, that's been a big thing. One way that he's pointed out, like I've been building my legacy is this past Father's Day. You know, Brett and Britt, they gave me a card when I got back here, and a nice cool hat from Hawaii. That was awesome. But the card that they wrote was very touching. Mm-hmm. It was very meaningful to me. It highlighted a lot of things that I feel like I've tried to be intentional about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that they have taken it in and they acknowledged it. That kind of like got, it was like a God thing to say, hey, you're doing it. You're doing your legacy, right? You're leaving your legacy. You're setting things up well. And so I felt like God was kind of like giving me a little pat on the back there through my son and my daughter-in-law. Yeah.
The card was cool too, because on the front, Brittany found it. It was a playoff of that Netflix documentary on the Bulls, The Last Dance. It said The Last Dad with Game, and it was like a basketball court, and it had that nice feel of the Bulls thing. Gotcha. Yeah,
yeah, so, I totally recognized it. At first, I thought, oh, Brett made it, right? Because that would be something he would do.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, no, Brittany found that. And I was just like, oh, this is like so cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Brought a few tears to my eyes, so it was a win situation for everybody, I think.
Sometimes the payoff is years or maybe even decades later, right? Like, you sow in a lot as a dad, and you hope that it's sinking and it's taking root, it's planting seeds, but not that you have to have that, but when you get that confirmation, it's like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then since it was highlighted by the Lord, too, that, you know, your legacy is not just at the end of your life, but it's like the things that you're doing now that is establishing that. And, you know, that's how God's legacy is too, right? It was from the beginning of time till now. And so he's always working. And so I feel like for myself, I need to always be in that mindset also.
Nice.
Without making it about me. That's the other thing, is like the legacy is not just about me, but.
Oh, I thought you were getting ready to say something. So
no, I mean,
I love that idea about legacy. But one other thing you said about finding joy in all these hard and difficult circumstances, I thought maybe if you could just explain a little bit, because to me, or I think some listeners hear that and they're like, "Well, how can you be happy in those difficult things?" Because I think they, you know, they conflate happy and joy as the same. So how do you describe what it is to be joyful even when you have to put your dog down or that your mom dies, or what is that like, or how did you experience that?
Yeah, there is a definite distinction between happiness and joy. Joy to me, and it was cool because I heard you guys talking about it a couple of times on the Engage to Flourish, and I agreed with a lot of what you guys were talking about. So the idea of having joy is not about being happy about a situation, but it's more, for me, an inward peace about things, and then a knowing of kind of like love and security and I don't want to say affirmation of life, but I would say, yeah, the having that idea that there's hope and that there is a sense of well-being, I guess, would be another way of putting it. You know, like the song that it is well with my soul. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be joyful. I mean, you don't have to be happy about the situation, but there is a certain amount of being well or being content or understanding that there's more going on than what is being shown right now.
Kind of as you were describing it, what came to mind is like being able to grieve without going to despair.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because grieving is healthy. It's an important part of recognizing the loss, but then not going to that place of despair where it's like just hopelessness, the end. Yeah, hopelessness or things like that. Yeah. So allowing ourselves to recognize that there was a connection that we had with these people, and when there is loss that we're able to grieve, but that's not the end of the world, but we're still able to find our hope and mm-hmm. our peace in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And then also having that hope and peace in the memories that that you shared with them, you know, whatever it might be. Missing them for sure is part of the grieving process, and that takes away from happiness for sure, right? Because it's like when I come home sometimes now and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right, the dog is not here. And he would always come and greet me. But then the joy that I have, right, is that I remember that idea or that feeling that I had when he would come and he would be at the door wagging his tail and then just be so excited. And so when I think about it like that, that feeling warms my heart. And then I have joy. It's like when I go back to my mom's house and I'm standing in the kitchen and I think about the times where, well, I used to have to wipe the dishes a lot because we didn't have dishwasher that we used. And so my mom would be washing and I would be always late for dinner. So it was my job to kind of like, I had to take whoever's turn it was to wipe the dishes. And my brothers were always like cheering when they would see me coming. I'd be riding my bike down the street. This like balls out, right? Going flying down and then flying around the corner, dropping my bike in the backyard, running in the house and be, you know, 10, 15 minutes late. And my brothers were all like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no wiping dishes tonight. It's Dawn's turn again. But, you know, so that kind of memory and then the talks that I used to have with my mom at that time, because she didn't have a daughter. Right. So she didn't have somebody to bounce things off of. I guess maybe I was supposed to be the fourth son, so I was supposed to be the daughter. I don't know. She was out of luck there. But she would always talk to me about different things, you know, try to impart some life stories to me and tell me about her history and things like that. So, yeah, those types of things, right, bring me a sense of joy and peace and security and well-being, you know, as opposed to like you said, staying away from despair.
I think the picture or the idea that is stuck in my head about joy that I've been trying to hold on to is there's this song by Torn Wells, and then he ends up doing it with Elevation Worship, but it's called Joy in the Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big lyrics that stick with me, it says, if it's not good, then he's not done with it yet.
Mm.
And so I think a lot of times happiness, like you guys shared, is like situational, right? And so in that situation, it seems like that's the end. Mm-hmm. And so you can't find joy in it. But mm-hmm. knowing that God has more in it, so whether it is the memories, the looking back, the things that are beyond the situation, you know, for anyone that's in a tough situation or feels like they don't have that joy, some of the hope that I've tried to hold on to, because I could get pretty pessimistic or just down and not, have a positive perspective. It's I have to hold on to the hope that, like, God's not done with it yet then. Like, there is going to be good that comes from it. And so it's this idea that, okay, then there'll be joy in the morning. Like, it may not be today, but tomorrow I could seek it, or I'm going to hold out hope for that later on.
Mm. There's a sunrise coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you actually said you're pessimistic, because normally you say you're realistic.
Well, I mean, that's being a realist, right?
two sides of the same coin. Yeah. Right? No, I think it's just good. Like Don, you said we have brought this topic up a couple times, but I think it's just a good reminder of, hey, we're not trying to live our lives. We shouldn't try to live our lives to be happy, because then we're just chasing after things that are quick fixes and emotional stimulus or something like that. But you know, difficult things are bound to happen, and there's a better way to not just approach it, but just to actually live through it. So yeah, it's good to hear your perspective and your sharing. So thanks for bringing that up.
Well, one other thing I wanted to kind of mention too was the idea of legacy and something my mom, we picked up, and Nancy kind of picked this up from my mom's 100th birthday party, where we asked people to share about some of their favorite memories of my mom, you know, and so that she could hear them while she's alive, right? And so then a few of my cousins they would say, oh, I'm Auntie Carol's favorite nephew. Mm. And then another one would stand up and say, actually, I'm Auntie Carol's favorite nephew. And then, you know, one of my cousins would say, oh, I am Auntie Carol's favorite niece for sure, right? And then another one would say the same thing. And so Nancy picked it up and saying, you know what? Your mom, she made an intentional effort to be kind, get to know and to be nice to all of her nieces and nephews, and it shows because they all feel like they were her favorite. And so the idea, you know, that Nancy and I are trying to incorporate in our lives too is to kind of make everybody feel special, right? And to that you see them and that you want to know them. You want to understand and see what's going on in their lives. And I feel like that's a big thing for us right now.
I affirm that. You guys do it well. So
thank you.
I feel personally, my kids, I know they definitely feel it. So
yeah.
You're Uncle Don and Auntie Nancy to everybody.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Yeah, you're not just Brett and Dylan's dad.
So we'll have to get. We've invited Nancy on a few times, and we thought we had her one time, and then she squeezed us out, I think. But we'll have to have her on to talk about her end of legacy. I'm thinking it has to do something with building character. but we'll have to get let her speak for herself.
I know, I've already put too many words in her mouth.
Yeah, so that's why I thought, too, you guys were going to have me on so that I could set the record straight on a few things here.
We can get to that.
So as we're talking about legacy, I think that's a really good segue into some of the things that we did want to talk about today, in addition to what God was highlighting to you, is, you know, there's another legacy that you might not know that you've set for us, is that, you know, you were the first from Catalyst to go on a father-son missions trip to Africa.
True.
And
yes,
Kyle and I are getting a chance to do that coming up. And, you know, this past Sunday, we had our multi-gen service and we had our Africa team with all of our sons get up and share and give the message and share a little bit of the stuff that we're going to be doing in Africa. And you actually got to be the one to set the precedent for what that looks like going as a father and son. So we did want to get a chance to talk to you a little bit about that today. And so I guess to get started, like, how was it for you to be able to experience going to Africa with Dylan?
It was quite the experience. I was a little afraid in the beginning of taking Dylan, although he was a young adult, so it wasn't as I probably wasn't as fearful as I probably would have been if he was in middle school.
He was in college, right?
Yes, yeah. He was first, second year in college. And so then, I don't want to throw Dylan on the bus too much.
he can always come on and set the record straight.
We've been trying to get him to come on too, and he keeps ducking us.
Yeah. Well, he's like working. He's a working man, so he can't just be taking time off to record a podcast. But yeah, it was a lot of fun for one thing to go with him. It was a lot to experience, like the long plane ride and things like that. But the experience on a whole was very bonding for us. Brett and I know about bonding on the.
We've had our own missions trip, and that's another kind of mission.
Yeah. Anyway, we won't go there for now. But the idea of Dylan and I sharing all that time together and then being able to experience the different things, because we had gone on mission trips before in Mexico, family trips and things like that. So I was not so much afraid about how he would react and, you know, how the experience would be for him. But just the, I think the distance and travel was a big thing. And he did well. He adjusted well in most things. And, it was really good. It was a good experience.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, on our trip, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, the first leg of our flight is 15 hours.
15.
And then the second leg of our flight is another 8 hours. So it's basically a full day of being on an airplane with a layover in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a rough flight. I mean, it's long. It's super long, and there's no getting around that. Mm-hmm. But having that, you know, a strategy, so to speak, helped Dylan and I, and he tried to take part in some of the strategy, I think. In other parts, he was just like shutting down. He just shut down, and he has the ability to kind of sleep and, you know, just zone out or listen to music and be okay or watch movies. He loves movies, so we got to watch a lot of movies and things like that. But, you know, as a whole, the flights, it was okay. He likes to go to different places, experience things too. And we got to go to Dubai, and that was pretty cool. Very different over there. The Burj Khalifa and the mall and stuff was just outrageous. It was crazy. It was crazy. They have a huge, like, aquarium in there, like two floors and probably like, I don't know, two or three like Macy's size stores worth of aquarium. Wow. They have like an 8-foot shark in there and like huge manta rays and
down at the local mall.
Seriously, right? You just walk in the mall and then all of a sudden you look at this thing and it's just like, oh, geez, that thing is gigantic. I mean, you could go scuba diving in there, literally. People go scuba diving in there.
That's crazy.
And they have like a little elevator thing that goes, anyways. it's just insane.
Yeah, so even just hearing you share that, like what were some of the highlights or some of the things that you came across culturally that stood out to you, like just the people, the cultures that you got to experience? Because you've been to Mozambique and Kenya, and then did you also go to Uganda as well?
Or? No, we were on the border of Kenya and Tanzania.
Okay.
Yeah, because out in the Maasai, it's like bordering that. So we were up on a mountaintop, and so then Pastor Francis was like, telling us over here is Kenya, over here is Tanzania, and this is where the migration goes through, and then you could see like the valleys over there and different things. So that was pretty awesome. But yeah, the two places, very different
in
geography and cultures, very different.
Language, everything very different. Yeah. Food. But what about the people? What about like what you experienced? Like, just for our listeners, like how would you describe maybe how you were surprised when you were there, or maybe even how you were blessed by just being able to experience?
Yeah, I was surprised and blessed by how friendly the people in Kenya were. Also in Mozambique, also very friendly. Wanting to, very interested in you as a person and, you know, a lot of them was like, well, what are you doing here, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, this Asian guy there in Mozambique, right? It's like, kind of look at you different. But, you know, the people that we came in contact with, very friendly, very kind-hearted. Many of them were very, like, well-mannered and kind of, how would you say it? Like polite, kind, I would say. Yeah. I guess was a little surprising too. Africa is very different. The people in Africa are very different than the African Americans that are here, right? You know, because I grew up in Gardena and went to school. Our school was probably 50% black, right? And so then we were like, so you have an idea of what people are like, but you go there and it's like, well, this is like very, very different. Like it's a whole different culture of people, right? And it's understandable with everything that African Americans have had to go through and things like that. So it's like it gave me a different perspective on both sides, right? I was definitely more grace-giving and understanding about the people that I grew up with and the people that I had come in contact here, but then also like understanding them there and trying to relate to them was very different, so. It was cool. It was cool to see the difference.
So I think when I think of you and going to Africa, one of the big things that I think about is that one of the times that you went was during a season where you were saying yes to God, right?
And yeah.
I think to me, that's just a really big example of a part of your legacy that I feel like I'm been trying to step into, because I feel like you've been passing that down to other people. It's just wanting to say yes to the Lord. Can you share a little bit about where that season came from, like how that came about, and maybe share an experience or two that you stepped into that you might not normally have wanted to or chosen to step into?
Yeah. There was a season where I was just desiring, I feel like, more from the Lord and from the Holy Spirit. It's kind of started with Pastor Peter when he came, and he shared about his journey, and I was just blown away that somebody had that much faith that they're going to move their family to Israel. I was just like, what the heck? How do you do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so being an elder, we had a chance to have lunch with him, and so we talked to him, and he shared a lot more, and then he said, you know, Barry was like, oh, if you have any questions, you know, this is a good time. And so then everybody was sitting there kind of quiet and not asking too many questions, and I was like looking at them, and I said, okay, how do you do that, right? How do you decide that you're going to go and do that and move? And so he came back with, well, my whole family hears from God. And so it wasn't just me making the decision, but we prayed about it, talked about it, and yeah, so that didn't really help me. And not that my family doesn't hear from the Lord also, but
I'm a no man.
But as far as like making a decision like that, I was like, there has to be more to it, right? And so I had a meeting with Pastor Barry, and then we talked about it, and he said, you know, he didn't just all of a sudden get up and decide that they're going to go to Israel. He goes, there was probably a lot of saying yes to God before that happened. And so I was just like, okay. So then I was in a season where I think I was not working. I think it was after Flurries. And so, you know, that kind of threw me for a loop too, as far as faith and seeing and listening to God and stuff. So I was very curious about how this was all going to play out. And so Barry challenged me to say, you know, for the next however many months, I want you to just say yes. Whenever you feel like God is asking you to do something, just say yes. And I was just like, no, I can't do that. I said, because I don't know when God is asking me to do things. I go, my judgment right now is not good. And so then we talked about that too. And it was like, no, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And if you ask him, he's going to respond. And so you need to trust that, as opposed to trusting your, you know, so-called lack of judgment, because I was very questioning my judgment at the time. And so then he would say, no, do you just pray and trust that God is going to bring things to you? And so then in the beginning, it was like small things, right? It would be like, hey, I want you to go talk to so-and-so. And I would be like, okay, I could go do that. I could do that. I know that person. I could, you know, I could have a conversation with them, and I did. And then the person would say, how did you know I wanted to talk to you? And I would just be like, whoa, okay, that was kind of cool. So, wow, right? And then that happened probably two or three times, right, where he would like say, hey, go talk to that guy over there. And it would be like, you know, Darren and different people that I knew, right? And Darren would go, oh, that's so cool. You came over and talked to me. I wanted to talk to you about this and this and that, right? And I was just like, oh, okay. I could continue doing this. This is good. And then so it kind of like continued into actually starting the men's group. And I was not, that was not on my radar at all, to kind of like start a young men's group. But that was awesome. It was great. I had the best time with that.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, this was probably like 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
That, Don got this inkling that he wanted to start a group. I, I'm I'm guessing it was the Lord telling him to start this group. Yeah. And then so he asked a few of us to get together, and we did. And then it ended up growing to a point where it was Don and 12 other guys.
Yeah. So, that was pretty awesome that when he led it, then I would just ask whoever he was leading me to. And it wouldn't be some of them were guys that I knew and had relationship with, but some of them I did not. And so then I would just like talk to them and they would go, you know, that sounds like a good idea. I think I could do that. And then the nights worked out, everything kind of just fell into place. So that was the one area where I saw God's hand just kind of like leading and guiding as I move forward into saying yes to this and yes to that. And then the idea of going to Africa came about, and I was just like, don't know about that one. And then I felt like, okay, yeah, I could go and try, right, and see. And so then I did, and one of the times that I, because I ended up going about, I think it was four times.
Was it four? I thought it was three, but it was
four. And then one of them,
the Lord said long.
Yeah, the Lord.
Yeah.
With Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lord said that he wanted me to spend some extended time there. Mm. And I was like, okay, what does that look like? That doesn't sound, I don't know, right? And so then I talked to Nancy and we prayed about it. And she says, I think you need to do this. Mm-hmm. And so then I did. And then I was there and I just spent time with Mike Kyoto, mm-hmm. the missionary that mm-hmm. we have relationship with. And yeah, he's kind of out there a little bit, I would say. So I was a little afraid. I was a little afraid, to tell you the truth, because I was like, okay, what is that even going to be like spending that much time with him? I knew him, but I didn't know him that well. He was very welcoming and wanted me for sure to come and stay as long as I want, become a missionary and hang out with him the rest of my life. You know, and he was just going, were on a walk.
No pressure, though. No pressure. Yeah.
We were on a walk, and he's going, you just need to set up a foundation. You set up a foundation, and then, you know, God will supply all the funds, and then you could move here. And I'm like, whoa, 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 right? Slow the roll a little bit here, buddy. But it was great hanging out with him and kind of living a kind of a missionary life. So that was pretty awesome.
And so can you share a little bit about the time that Mike asked you to preach?
Okay, well, he didn't ask me to preach. He presented the idea, right? He said, you know, we're going to go visit this church, and you have the opportunity to preach a message if you want. And so I think I preached a couple of messages at Catalyst before that, and I feel like God was kind of like speaking through me, and I had enough confidence in him that it would be okay, right? And so then I said yes, because I was in that season of saying yes. And after I said yes, I was at Mike's house and, doing some research, thinking about the message. And all of a sudden, all these like ideas started coming into my brain, right? And I was just like, oh, okay. And then these different Bible verses to support these ideas. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was just writing, yeah, like I haven't written before, really. Mm-hmm. And it just started coming quickly. And so then I was just like, okay, I think I'm done. And I was like, I think this is actually pretty good, mm-hmm. right? I was just like kind of surprised. And I was just like, I'm not sure, but I think this is going to be okay. So we go to this church. It's not really a church. It was a convention, and it was this huge, gigantic tent. Okay. I mean, big, like Ringling Brothers big, right? And it's really loud. You could hear the music and the instruments because they love their music loud.
Yes, they do.
Like amplified loud, like crazy loud. And so you could hear it. And I'm looking at Mike as we're driving up. I go, what is this, right? I thought you said we're going to church. He goes, it is. It's church. And I go, he goes, well, it's actually like a convention, right? And so I go, okay. So we go inside. And there's this evangelist guy preaching in there. He was from India, mm-hmm. right? And he was like, oh, man, he was like amped. So he's like walking back and forth in front of the stage, and he's just going back and forth, and he's like yelling, you know, like you would think, right?
Yeah.
And the people are kind of like cheering him on, and I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. This is not good at all. I am not ready for this. And so then we had a lunch, kind of a meet and greet with the other pastors that were there as guests. And so then we're in this room and we're talking to them, and they're like, oh, so Pastor Don, like, what is your church like in California, right? And I'm like, the church that I attend in California, you know, we're a small family church, and, you know, it's, and so they were very gracious and like very kind. And so Mike goes, okay, they're ready for us. They're ready for us. Let's go. Right. And I'm like, oh no. I'm like, okay, okay. And so we walk in into the service, and there's like, 500 people, maybe more.
And these aren't just regular people, right? These
Well, I come to find out later, yeah, that they're like teachers, pastors, bishops that are coming to this conference, right? And I'm like,
from multiple countries, right?
Yeah, different countries. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. I'm glad that I found that out later, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It was because at first I thought, okay, this is just a big congregation of people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, okay about it. And then so Mike goes up there. He goes, don't worry, I'm going to go first. He goes, I'll set you up, right? So then he goes up and he gives a short, kind of testimony and message, right? And then he talks to the lead bishop, right? And then he comes up and he introduces me and he says, okay, we have a special guest and his name is Pastor Don from the United States of America, and he has a word of God for you. And I'm just like, what? No. I go, he didn't just say that. So I'm like praying, you know, like, never prayed before, probably, right? Like you all would be. And so then I'm walking up there and I'm asking God, okay, God, if you have a different message, I go, I'll say anything. I go, just speak through me, right? Anything. Just take control of this body and start talking, right? And so then I'm walking up and I'm not getting anything. And I get up to the podium and it's like, oh man, there's a people here. And then it's silent too right now. And so I get up there and I start, and I open with prayer and I start, and then there's a interpreter, right? So it's kind of cool. And so I start praying, and then he's like looking at me like, break, right? And so then I kind of go through half the prayer, and then he says it, and then I say it, and then he says it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm getting the idea of how this needs to work. And so during the message, prior to the message, Mike goes, hey, you probably have an hour.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, what? I'm used to like speaking like 15, 20 minutes maybe, right? And so then I thought, okay, well, if there's an interpreter, it'll take twice as long, right? And then I said, I'll just talk slow too. And so I start. And we start getting in a little bit of a rhythm with the interpreter, and he's pretty animated. So I'm appreciating that, right? Because and I was thinking in my mind, you know, this guy is probably like speaking his own message, and I don't even know, right? He could be telling them anything. But it was good. I got a few, more than a few, like hallelujahs and amens and praise the Lords in there and stuff. So, you know. Thank God for Bruce Masai, because I was kind of ready for that. Right? I was kind of waiting for it, right? Nice. And it happened. So I was like, okay, this seems like it's going okay. I think this is going okay. And then I finish and I just say a blessing over the congregation, right? And I get off, and then Mike is all, I mean, the guy is just beaming happy, right? And so I'm just like, gives me a high five and a hug and stuff. And so it was kind of cool because the bishop who was leading this thing comes up and he says, you know, we've heard from many preachers and pastors and evangelists here, and we need evangelists, and we need this and this and that. He goes, but you just heard the heart of the Father. Mm. And when I heard that, I just was like, praise God. Mm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Because I just, you know, I mean, I just did what he asked me to do. Mm-hmm. And then to hear that, I was just like, wow, okay, this is cool. This is so cool. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, lifting me up and doing and helping me do this, because I could never, ever have done anything like this on my own. Yeah. And then, so we're, Pastor Mike and I goes, hey, we can just take off now. We're good, right? I'm like, okay, we don't have to sit through like the rest of these 6 hours of preaching. He goes, no, we got other things that we need to do. So that's how Mike rolls too, yeah. Right? He just rolls in and rolls out, man. And so then we're walking out and a pastor comes up to me and then he goes, oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing the word of God to us, right? And I'm just like, oh, yeah, no problem, right? No problem. And then he goes, hey, oh, can I have that? And he's looking, pointing at me, right? And I'm like, my Bible? You want my Bible? And then he goes, no, that. And then he points at my notes, all right? And I'm like looking at him kind of like, you want this? And he goes, yes, thank you. And he takes my notes, right? And I'm just like, I walk away and I'm like, what just happened, right? So I tell Mike, I go, hey, Mike, I go, you see that pastor over there? I go, he asked for my notes, right? He goes, dude, that's so awesome. And if you any of you know Pastor Mike, right, he's like, that's how he,
yeah.
Very, very animated and fun guy, right? And so he goes, that's so awesome. He goes, he's going to use your message, dude. That's like so cool. So I was just like, what? Really? And he's going, yeah. He goes, okay, let's go. So we head out. And yeah, afterwards, I was just sitting in the car kind of stunned. And I just like, dang, God is good. God is so good. He's so faithful and awesome, right? So yeah, that was probably one of the cooler things that happened.
Yeah, I really like how, you know, this story, it just seems so like mind-blowing how big it ended up becoming, right? Where you're speaking at a convention in front of bishops and pastors and stuff. But really, that's kind of the culmination of you saying yes to those little things at the beginning. Like, yes, I'm going to go talk to someone over here when the Lord prompts me to go talk to that person.
Yeah.
So it didn't just start with the big thing, kind of like you were saying earlier. Yeah. It doesn't just start with the big things, but it's the culmination of saying yes and all these little things.
Yeah. Actually, there was something else that happened that I haven't shared a lot about, but I don't know if you guys have time for one more story. I don't know.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So after that, right, Pastor Mike goes, hey, you have an opportunity to speak again if you want. And I'm like, okay. Right? That went good. So I was like, okay, I could probably do it. He goes, yeah, we're going to, you have a chance to speak at, I forgot the pastor's name now, but in the slums. The church in the slums, right? And I was just like, oh, that's a whole nother thing, right? And so I go, what am I going to talk to the people in the slums about? How am I going to relate to them? Or how am I going to bring God's hope to them? You know, and I was just like, after he said that, it was very heavy. I was just like, oh, no, I don't know if I could do this. And so then I prayed about it, and then I felt like, again, God's faithfulness, he just started like implanting these things in me and verses. And again, right, I was doing some research and it just started flowing out. And so then the message was titled The Heart of God. And so then Pastor Mike goes, oh yeah, we have the opportunity to dedicate some kids too. Right. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Okay. I saw Barry do that. I think I can handle that. And so we go there. Right. And we're in the slums and it's just dark and dank and smelly. And yeah, it was just like, whoa, this is a whole thing. Right. Mm-hmm. It's real small. And so there was hardly anybody there too, right? The family was there. There was like two families that had little kids. And then there was not that many other people there, right? And I find out that they're on holiday. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. The people in the slums go on holiday. But he said that they go back to their homelands to visit their families that are there, right? They
like tribal lands?
Yeah. And the villages and stuff, right? So they pack up in all these buses and just head out, right? Because a lot of them are working, and the only place that they could afford to live is in the slums. Mm. And they send money back to their villages, right, to help support them. So we are there. I get introduced again, Pastor Don, right? I'm just like, okay, I'm still not used to that idea. And so then I start speaking, right? And again, it's not very crowded. There's not many people there, and everybody's kind of sitting more towards the back. I'm kind of on a small platform, and I'm speaking about the heart of God. The heart is for them. He sees them. He loves them. You know, he wants life and hope for them, and this, so on and so forth, right? And then towards the end of the message, I hear this thing kind of tinkling, falling on the ground. You know, it's like clink, clink, clink. And I'm like, wait, what was that, right? So I continue speaking, and I'm kind of looking around, like, did somebody throw something at me, or what happened, right? I this kind of confounded me, right? So I continue speaking, I finish, and I bless the families, and I come walking off the stage, right, and I see this little plastic heart on the ground in front of me, and I reach down and I pick it up, and I'm like, wait, where did this come from? I would have saw somebody, because again, there's hardly anybody there. I would have saw somebody throw it or drop it or bring it over, right? And I was just like, what just happened, right? And so then I took a picture of it with me, and I left it on the podium. Nancy was all like, you didn't bring it home? Like, how could you not bring it home? Right? And I was just like, I didn't know what to do with it. I was just like stunned. And so then what came to my mind was that God was like, I don't know, supernaturally just dropped it there for me. Mm-hmm. And that he was proud of me, that I brought the heart of God to these people that were in need of something. And I was just, again, just baffled at God's goodness, and just, it was stunning. And the other thing that kind of came to mind was our church, Catalyst, was, talking about the different things that were happening up in Canada and things where, you know, like with the gold dust and God kind of revealing certain things to people and things like that, just in a physical manner, right? Mm-hmm. That was kind of like miraculous. Mm-hmm. And so that came to my mind, and I was just like, whoa, okay. Wow, that was heavy. That was heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, I love hearing those stories. I hadn't heard that one for a long time either. So when you were saying, I'm like, oh, maybe I haven't heard this one. And then as you got going, oh, yes, I love that story.
Yeah.
I loved how hearing you even share those yeses, like almost all of them were filled with tension. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like after you did a few, it was like, oh yeah, this is easy, I can just do it, because they were bigger yeses, and it was still, I'm sure there was fear, there was anxious thoughts, there was different things that were still you had to battle through. But even hearing you, like just that you had to wrestle with those, because I think sometimes people get the impression of, well, once you start saying yes and you get used to it, oh, it's just easy. You can say yes to anything. It's like, oh no, there's still a lot there. But then the other part was, you know, hearing you, or what that bishop said about you heard from the Father, you heard of the Father's heart today. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, you know, like the boisterous, the flamboyant, you know, preacher style or whatever, you know, that's good and that's necessary, but we need the fullness of all aspects, and you brought a different aspect that maybe they weren't even ready for. And so that you were obedient to step into that, it's like they saw more of God's fullness from that. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That, and then in the same thing with like, in the slums, like you brought God's heart. And so we all have our own things. We don't have to be somebody else. We don't have to do it the way somebody else does it. But how you stepped into just being Don Hirata and how God created you.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No.
Well, what's kind of crazy too was that we, so then after that, we were going to do the baby dedication. And so then we're like, I was looking at the families, right? And then there was two of the kids were just like snotty nose, sneezing. And like, I was just like, oh, shoot. So I was going to pass that one on to Mike, right? And then he goes, go, Pastor Don, go. And I'm like, oh, okay. Protect me, Lord. Protect me. Because I was like carrying the kid, right? Yeah, and he's just like sneezing. And I'm just like, oh my God. This is like, this was pre masks and everything, too, right? So it's just like no protection. And I was just, okay, we're going to do this. We did it. And yeah, the family was super happy and totally blessed to be, you know, this traveling pastor or whoever this guy is, just dedicated to our kids. Maybe they redid it later. I don't know. You know, their own pastor.
Yeah, I wanted to hear Brett your perspective, seeing this season. You're in your 20s, right? Mm-hmm. And all this is happening. And what did you see in your dad? And then how did that affect you going forward?
Well, first, if I knew he was in a bigger season of saying yes, I probably would have asked for a new car and you know, asked for more things. But he kept it between him and God for a long time. And then I was like, oh, dang,
it's
I missed my chance.
Supposed to be, Brett.
He's in Africa. I can't ask him for anything. No, I mean, there was a part of me where I'm like this dude's kind of crazy. Because not that he wouldn't say yes to things before, but it was more of just like it's like a faith yes. And so normally, you know, my dad's pretty calculated, wants to make sure that like, right, you measure twice and cut once. So you don't gotta, you know, it's like calculate, be prepared.
Yeah.
That's how I was raised. And so to see him kind of just be out there, it was like, okay, this is different. And I knew it was like a change that he's like searching for something or just like, I'm trying to do something different. And so I didn't fully know until like after and hearing him kind of share different things. And I mean, he shared stories of like, he got to baptize people out there, you know, just like all of these wide range of things. And it's just like, he would point it back to seeing the goodness of God or God's faithfulness. And so I think eventually for me, it was like, okay, this quote unquote craziness that seems it's really like, just trying to get closer to God, get more of God, hear him more clearly, build a greater intimate relationship with him to be able to follow him. And it came at a sacrifice. And so I think that was not the first picture for me, but it was a big picture of like, sometimes following God does come at a cost. You might look crazy, like to your kids, like, dude, dad, what the heck are you doing? But like at the end, it's like, oh no, like he was convicted to search for more of who God is, and God revealed himself to my dad. And I could tell that there was a difference in when my dad like saw that and he was able to experience more of God. It changed him too, just like how he interacted with everybody, how he parented us, how he and I don't think it was like a conscious thing where it's like, oh, I was doing things wrong before, but it's just different when God's that involved.
Yeah.
And so
flowed out of him.
Yeah. And so I think there's things that I don't even, I can't verbalize or pinpoint, but you just know it's different. And then I think too, that was like him. And when he's talking about legacy, it's like setting the precedent of like, okay, like Brett and Dylan, I know you guys, you know, want to get good grades, you want to do this, you want to do this, but like you need to follow God, like follow after his heart, like what does he want for you, and pursue those things. And so you know, that's a trickle down effect from just him saying yes. It's like, okay, as my dad, as the person that I'm looking up to, the person I seek advice from, the ways that he's growing, maybe his answers now are different than if he hadn't been pursuing God in that way, or he hadn't been hearing from God, he hadn't been obedient. Now the way that he's responding to us, the way he's living out his marriage, the way he's parenting, the way he's interacting with people, it just ends up trickling down. And so, you know, as in the Father's Day card, I think the thing that God was highlighting to me was, as I'm getting older and dealing with more blessings and issues that happen in life, I'm able to have a greater understanding of the things that he was trying to do, or the things that he did do, or even putting myself in his perspective of, like, he changed his life in a lot of ways for the betterment of me and our family. And so even for me now, having to make those choices in life, or understanding, like, oh, like, that came with a harder choice or decision or effort than, you know, as a kid, you just think your parents, like, you guys are parents, you guys know all the answers, so that's why you're just doing it. But it's like, no, it doesn't necessarily work that way. Even, you know, being challenged to say yes to God can come at any point in your life. And so it's just acknowledging that the ways that he has said yes, the ways that God has called him to be who he is, has changed, like, the legacy for my life too, because then I'm going to step into who I am and the ways that I'm called to be, because I could see the example or the ways that he's poured into me. And so I think for me, every year, every Father's Day, every year on his birthday, every year on my birthday, I am able to understand a greater depth of the ways that God has worked in him, and then how it affects me, and then so forth.
It's awesome.
Cool stuff.
I mean, I think the one thing I would want our listeners to remember too, with the saying yes, and Don, maybe you can finish with this too, is it for that season for you, it seemed like it was a ratcheting effect, like the yeses were getting bigger and more profound. But I don't think it didn't stay on that trajectory. Like, doesn't just because you're saying yes doesn't mean you have to keep going more drastic. It's just really about saying yes. And, like, God knows he had that season for you for a specific purpose, but it didn't have to stay at that same intensity. But he's still inviting you to say yes, even in the little things when you come back and life seems quote unquote normal.
Like coming on the podcast.
Yeah. So that was, you know, a number of years ago. So since then, have you seen that mentality carry forward of being able to say yes? Maybe not easier, but yes, also it is easier.
Yeah, I feel like it's become different. Easier is not necessarily
not better. The right word.
Maybe not the right word, but different is probably how I would describe it. I had to start using a little more discernment also, because a lot of different opportunities were coming up and a lot of things were being asked of me. And so then I was talking to, you know, Barry again, and I go, okay, am I out of this now? You know, and he goes, oh, no, you can be if you want to be, right? And so then he goes, maybe it's time to start using just more discernment in what you say yes to. And so then I had to start doing that. And so that was different, right? Yeah. Just to be praying about things and not just automatically thinking the default is yes. You know, the default is, let me pray about it, I'll think about it, and I'll see what, you know, other people are saying about this too.
Like when, right? Brett asked for a new car, it's like there's discernment involved in that.
That one's a quick no.
It's like, well, we could search for a used car. But, as far as the intensity or the ramping up effect, yes, that was different. That changed. Some of the decisions were still quite big. You know, like, Nancy moved to Boston for a while,
for sure.
And it was like, okay, am I supposed to move with her? And so praying about that, it was like, I don't think I'm supposed to, right? I told her that I would if I found a job over there, and I didn't really look for a job over there. So I said, I can't find a job here, right? And so then I would just go over there and vacation, basically, and spend time with her and enjoy the East Coast, which was great, mm-hmm. and then come home and, you know, the kids were still in high school, college, and so I was just like, no, I think I need to be home. Mm-hmm. And so then was able to do that and have a great time spending with these guys and some of their friends and stuff, and then also with the men's group and things like mm-hmm. that were still going on. I felt like God was speaking to me as far as, like, the men's ministry here mm-hmm. at Catalyst. And so I said, you know, he actually gave me, like, all of this stuff for the men's ministry. And so I wrote it all down, and then I kind of presented it to some of the guys that were leading the men's ministry, and they kind of, in the beginning, kind of shut it down. Mm. I don't know if Damon, if you know any of this, but they kind of
shut it down.
No, not you. It was, oh. It was the older guys.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah. Some of the guys that were running it prior to. And so then I had like a whole mission statement and everything that God laid on my heart and stuff. And then circumstances changed to where John Nero, he had to step away from leading the men's ministry. And so then Barry was like, okay, if you feel like, you know, God's leading you to this, you could take over, right? So I talked to John and he said, yeah, I think you should, right? And so then I was just like, okay, I think I'm supposed to say yes. And so I said yes to that. And so then we started like we had a retreat, men's retreat. We had some Bible study. We started, you know, I felt like it was going in a good direction. And then it just changed, right, because of Nancy moving to Washington. Mm. And then I told her the same thing. Well, if I find a job up there, I'll move up there with you, right? And at this point, the boys were young men. Mm-hmm. I always call them boys, but the young men were like getting themselves established. And I felt like it was a time for what I called preparation for separation. Mm-hmm. So I wanted them to understand to live on their own mm-hmm. and what it meant to take care of a household. And they weren't going to do it on, you know, unless I moved out. And so then I thought, okay, I think I'm supposed to move out. And then sure enough, God lands me this job, mm-hmm. right? And it kind of came out of nowhere, because at first there was no position. And then the owner of the business basically created this position mm-hmm. so that he could hire me. And so I was like, okay, I think I'm supposed to go. And so then, yeah. So it's changing. It's mm-hmm. it's I won't say evolving, but it's changing all the time. And you know, it's easier to say yes to God after all of that, for sure, because I see God's faithfulness mm-hmm. and God's goodness, and you know, all of the attributes that God has, I've seen and experienced a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I won't say all of them, but I've seen and experienced a lot of them. And so it's not that hard to say yes to God. Mm-hmm. You know, discernment is always a big thing, but yeah. So
yeah, I mean, you're saying, it seems like, to kind of bring it back to legacy, like you've experienced the Lord's legacy.
Yeah.
And because of that, you understand more of the fullness of who he is, and you can trust him more.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Speaking of trust, though, that's something else that God has kind of like brought me to a place of like, okay, you see all these things, but will you trust me when you don't see them? Mm. And so I went through a season in Seattle, too, of not seeing his hand in my life or what I felt like was not seeing his hand in my life. There was always things happening, but I wasn't feeling, experiencing them. And I was like questioning, okay, why am I even here? I'm supposed to be here to support Nancy, and I'm not doing a good job of this, mm-hmm. right? I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm not experiencing that. I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm not experiencing any of these things. And I felt like God was saying, you know, I kind of like what Brett referred to earlier, is kind of like that thing, idea of if it's not good, then it's not done. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, I need to be patient and I need to kind of continue to pursue God, even though I don't see him working right now. And I need to trust that he is working, even though I don't experience, you know, the fruit of things right now. And so then that kind of was a very trying time for me. I was discontent in a lot of ways. And I think I talked to, I don't know if it was Daniel or you, and you were saying there's a certain amount of spiritual, maybe it was Damon, spiritual discontentment. At times, okay, it's good. Because it draws more out of you, and then you have to trust more, right? You have to have faith that God is who he says he is and is going to do what he says he's going to do, because it's easy when you see it, right, happening all the time, or you see it at the end and the culmination of whatever, right? But then when you're in the process and you don't see anything, how do you continue to step into the things that God might have for you when you don't know, you know? So that's where I was at for a while too, up in Seattle, where it was just like, I don't see anything happening. But God is like, okay, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you really trust me? And I was just like, yes.
Yeah. I think, you know, as you're talking and sharing that, I feel like that's really the heart for what the purpose of this podcast is, to help people to recognize the ways that God wants them to flourish in all the seasons, right? And sometimes those seasons are the hardest ones, right? It's easy to flourish when things seem to be going right, or when we've seen God's hand in everything. But those times are times where it can be more difficult. But kind of as you're sharing, Don, it's showing like the ways that God is speaking to you during those times, or the ways that God is like revealing himself to you, and what he want, the character that he's building in you is helping you to be able to still have faith, still have trust, even in those difficult times, which allows you to flourish in those times when it might be difficult.
Mm-hmm. And no, Brett, Mom did not say this is character building time.
She just says that to the kids.
I think it's cool just hearing this whole discussion. It actually ties in with we just had, like, I want to say it's not even adult classes, but we had these kingdom classes, right, going on. One was hearing God's voice, how important that is, and just how you had to go through that season of, like, is this God telling me this? Okay, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to say yes. But then Henry's class, they called it Kingdom Core, but I think it's even more like just seeing God, being aware of where he is and being able to see him in your life. Because if you can't recognize that, it makes life very hard and it's very difficult. So even just that last comment about how you didn't see and how you have to struggle through that. But we all have to go through that journey of being able to hear God, being able to see him, and how important that is. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of a picture that was painted when we were prepping for our last retreat. We were talking about, like, God's covering and how come sometimes we feel like we don't see or feel it in a similar fashion. And the picture was kind of like, say you have your water bottle on the table and you put your hand over it just a little bit. It's like, that's God's covering. Sometimes it feels like God's covering isn't there, but really his hand is still there. It's just raised a little bit higher from the bottle. And so from that perspective, you feel like, oh, it's not there. And there's more space. There's more room. You feel separate from God. You don't feel like he's there. But really that space is so that he can call you up to a higher level, so that when you get back to a higher level, now that space you were used to between you and God, it's back to that same proportion, but you're at such a higher level. So I think sometimes in those ways, like, the reason why that happens is because then we can kind of get content and just be like, oh, I'm good here and that's it. But God's like, well, I have more for you. And so then he, you know, pulls you out more, and so then that's where the stretching, the growing, like, I don't know if I feel, and then, you know, the greater sense of trust, and all that stuff is easier said than done, but that picture has helped me. It's like in those moments where I don't feel like he's there, it's like, no, his hand of covering is still there. It's just like, it might take a little bit more, you know, for me to be about it, continue to push through, persevere, to seek, you'll find it.
And we have a society that tells us to avoid that kind of stuff, yeah. Right? To take the easy route and not go in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, well, this episode is going a lot longer than some of our other ones, but just really thankful for Don for sticking with us and sharing so much. You know, I just really feel blessed to be able to call you spiritual dad for myself, and for you to be able to share some of these stories. We recognize that you're up in Washington and don't get a chance to come down here as much as you would normally want to. So we just appreciate your time that you were able to spend with us and share so many of the ways that God has been leading you and showing himself to you. And even the times when it feels like God wasn't showing himself to you, but how that grew your faith and your trust in him. So just appreciate you, Don, and appreciate you coming on and sharing with us so much.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing, this whole podcast stuff. So I'm like an old dog in this. But yeah, I appreciate you guys and the things that you guys are doing. And
Thanks for making me not the old one. So like, I'm usually you guys are young. Like what is this? So
yeah.
I love you like a brother. Like yeah. we went to Africa together, yeah. And we had a lot of similarities. We're like, you do that too.
Yeah.
Even we had the same watch at one point. Yeah. And he's like, what? And like, he walked out with a pair of shorts. I'm like, hey, I have those same. It was just kind of weird, but no, it's cool. I love hanging out with you, Don.
Yeah, me too. It's great.
Yeah, and it's funny because at the beginning, Don was like, I'm just not going to talk that much. And but this ended up being one of our longest episodes ever.
Yeah, well, I told you too. Like, how much time do you have?
Yeah, it's all good.
Well, like we said, Don, we really appreciate you and the time that you spent with us. And, you know, you're always welcome to come back on when you have a minute. And we know you have so much wisdom and so many different ways that God's shown himself to you. So we just always love to hear that and have you share with our listeners as well. So thanks again.
And I'm sure Nancy is going to be listening to this episode. So and Nancy, we're calling you out again. You need to come on the podcast and record.
Yeah, she has a lot to share.
She does.
God has been doing so much in her life. And
you're going to need more than one episode. Even though she's going to say, I don't know. She's like, there's too much stuff to say. So hers got to be just like, two-parter, okay, three-parter.
You got to come on multiple times and then for different themes.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
You have to come on once with Brett. You have to come on once with Don. You have to
once with Dylan.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get Dylan on here too. All right, so no, we've been running low on time. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.